Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. It's a privilege to be with you and study the Word of God together. Thank you for making this a part of your day. When the child of God spends time in the Word of God, good things happen. Today, we will be thinking about traditions. Our title is The Trouble with Tradition, and we will look at Mark 7, where the Pharisees confront Jesus about his disciples not washing their hands. Jesus uses this moment to get to the heart of the matter, their heart. Jesus' goal has not changed. He wants our hearts as well. As we discuss and look at some of our tendencies with tradition, take a step back and examine your traditions. Are your traditions leading you to God and making you more like Him? What is the real point of the tradition? And where is your heart? Turn to Mark 7, and J. Mark will lead us through this passage.
Traditions. They're as old as humanity. And through traditions, we transmit things like information and beliefs and customs from one generation to the next. Our traditions uphold our social attitudes, our customs, and even our institutions, and that ensures that our culture endures. But you know, it is essential for us to understand the origins of our traditions because, as when they are lost over time, the practice actually can become meaningless. The Gospel of Mark records an interaction between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees that centers around this subject of traditions. Traditions often arise out of sincere attempts to please God. However, if we don't handle our traditions carefully, they can lead us into hypocrisy. So I hope you can stay with me as I teach The Trouble with Tradition from Mark chapter 7 and verses 1 to 13. Listen as I read. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers, copper vessels and couches. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift to God,' then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do." This interaction of Jesus with the religious leaders reveals the dangers of relying solely on tradition to guide our beliefs and practices. And it also underscores the need for a balanced approach. Tradition can be respected, but not followed thoughtlessly. We need to remember that tradition can be manipulated for selfish ends. Our text tells us that a group of religious leaders from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. His fame had spread across that region, and they weren't particularly happy about it. And so they were watching Jesus and his disciples with a very critical eye. They happened to observe Jesus and his disciples eating bread without first washing their hands, which is, of course, as you know, proper for sanitary reasons. But the religious leader's objection wasn't sanitary. It was ritual. Mark explains. He said, "Because the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they especially wash their hands, holding the tradition of the elders. And so the Pharisees washed their hands, including their wrists, in a particular way that was prescribed by the elders, the teachers of the law. And you know, this practice was more than about cleanliness. It was a means of classifying people. Those who observed the Pharisees' traditions, and we could say did it right, they were regarded as righteous. Those who ignored their traditions were considered unclean. The Pharisees saw them as ignorant sinners that God would reject. Now, previous to this, the Pharisees had accused Jesus' miraculous powers of originating with Satan. Maybe you remember that. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24. And now, since he allowed his followers to eat without washing their hands, he was also a lawbreaker. To them, he was one of these ignorant, unclean sinners. In their minds, these proofs should put to rest any claims that he could possibly be the promised one, the Messiah. You know, although traditions often begin as something positive and valuable, they can, over time, become a tool for approving or sanctioning people just like the Pharisees did. They can assume an outward form that obscures the principle that they're intended to uphold. God commands his people to be holy, clean, and separated from the defilement of sin. But the Pharisees misinterpreted that command to serve their own ends. They became the final judges of who was clean or unclean, instead of allowing God to make that distinction. And then another point is that tradition can be elevated to the level of Scripture. Using tradition to achieve selfish ends is bad enough, but elevating tradition to the level of Scripture or above it, to me, that's the greater sin. And so I kind of think Jesus' words drip with sarcasm here. In a fine way, Isaiah prophesied about you hypocrites. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. Jesus called them hypocrites, because they appeared on the surface to honor him with their words, but their hearts were far away from him. The Pharisees neglected and dismissed God's commandments by elevating their own traditions. They gave greater weight to the teaching of the scribes than they did to the Word of God. They were focused on outward cleanliness rather than inward holiness. And that is why I believe Jesus took such a dramatic stand on this issue. Almost the entire chapter of Matthew 23 is devoted to Jesus' condemnation of the Pharisees for this error of focusing on the outside. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish so that the outside may also be clean. If I were to distill Jesus' words into one sentence, I would say this. He rebuked the Pharisees for paying more attention to appearance than to substance. And that's what happens when traditions are elevated to the same level of Scripture. So traditions can be used to achieve selfish ends, and they can also be elevated to the level of Scripture. There's one other way yet that they can be misused, and that is tradition can be twisted to violate biblical commands. After he rebuked the Pharisees for elevating their traditions above the Scripture, he gave them an illustration of their hypocrisy. He sarcastically tells them, "You know, you are really clever at setting aside the command of God to follow your traditions." Can you imagine how that multiplied their hatred for him? The fifth of the Ten Commandments says this, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And so Jesus reminded them of Moses' command to respect their father and mother and stated that whoever curses their parents should be put to death. Part of our respect for parents is caring for them later in life. However, in their hypocrisy, the Pharisees found a way to avoid keeping this command. So a person responsible for the care of their parents allocates a specified amount of money for that purpose. However, if he went to his parents and said, "You know this money that I set aside for your care, I'm making that a gift to God, Corban? Then he was removed from the obligation of spending it for their care. Now the word Corban actually meant devoted to God. It referred to offerings of money or material goods that were promised to him. This meant they were promising to use those resources that should have been used for their parents for sacred purposes. But the Pharisees justified the son's trickery, and they held that he was prohibited from using it to care for his parents. But here's the rub. However, he could use it for his own purposes. And so by their traditions, the religious leaders nullified God's command. And Jesus said, "That's not the only thing you do. You do many other things with similar results." The Judaism of the scribes and the Pharisees was an unbiblical religion that invalidated God's word. The true faith of the Hebrew Scriptures had been lost. It had been obscured by layers of rabbinic traditions that actually hindered people from fulfilling God's intentions. While Jesus detested the traditions of apostate Judaism, tradition itself isn't inherently evil, because all of us practice traditions in one form or another. In our church, we have traditions surrounding our observance of the Lord's table. For example, the only commands that are associated with observing the Lord's table are to partake in a worthy manner of the bread and the cup, thus remembering the Lord's death until he returns. So whether you use unleavened bread or not, whether you use wine or grape juice or something else, these are matters of preference and tradition and availability. But trouble arises when traditions are manipulated for selfish ends, and they're used to classify or control people. This often occurs when the tradition's original purpose is forgotten, and it becomes an empty form. Tradition should never be elevated to the level of Scripture. Genuine believers will joyfully obey God's command, even if it means breaking with tradition, because we embrace Jesus' words in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And finally, tradition should never be twisted to violate biblical commands. That is hypocrisy, blatant hypocrisy. And you know, it isn't limited to ancient Israel. It's still pervasive in Christendom today. It thrives in things like empty ceremonies and indifferent prayers, maybe insincere worship, false doctrines, and moralism. It looks good on the outside, but it's corrupt on the inside. The solution for hypocrisy is the same for any other sin. It's repentance. Every hypocritical, self-righteous, religious person must realize that before God, their works are like filthy, disgusting rags, according to Isaiah 64:6. True righteousness is only available through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and all who embrace him in saving faith will be cleansed and transformed from the inside out. They will become true worshipers. Are you one of those true worshipers, or are you stuck in worthless traditions?
Am I a true worshiper? Thanks for the introspective question, J. Mark. I can't answer that question for you, and you can't answer it for me. Each of us must look inside and examine our hearts. Please take the time to do this, and know that your heart is deceptive. Our hearts are desperately wicked, and we need his help to look at ourselves honestly. Praise God, he is there with us. If you have any questions about today's lesson, or if you'd like to contact us, you can contact us by email. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, and our website is heraldsofhope.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Thanks so much for being with us today. We wish you God's best as you walk with him and value the things he values, keeping the good traditions and letting go or changing the ones which need improved, knowing he will give you wisdom to know the difference.